Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is June 27th, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 172, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, Line Monkey. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit MacObserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
At MacObserver.com. Hey, I have a question for you just right off the bat.
Okay.
We record the show about once a year, so how in the heck do we have 172 episodes behind us?
Leap year.
Leap year. That must be it. Leap. What? What's that even mean? To quote Chris Kattan from the cowbell skit in Saturday Night Live. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Forget it. Move on. Maybe no one will notice.
No one will. Yeah. I said it quiet enough. I'm sure no one heard.
So this episode is a little bit of a special episode. We are looking at just the iPhone. It's the iPhone.
Well, it's a special episode for two reasons. We're looking at the iPhone, and we're actually recording.
The iPhone.
Oh, yeah. It's only been out for 3 years. You think I'd know how to pronounce it.
You would think so. That's okay, though. And, of course, you know, the iPhone 4 in particular was released on Thursday. We're recording this on Sunday. You know, so it's a new thing, and we're going to talk about it and look at all of the various aspects, and there you go.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
It does. It does. So, all right, well, let's get to it.
All right, then.
So, yeah, so about that iPhone. Let's actually start with the launch event itself.
I think that sounds good. All right. So, so I ended up going to the Boulder Apple Store, which is a 29th Street Apple Store, and then the Flatiron Crossing Apple Store in Broomfield, both of those in Colorado, the night before the launch. And I figured there would be lines ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I was right. The lines at the Boulder Apple Store started at 1 in the afternoon, the day before the launch. And at the Flatiron Crossing store, they started at, I think it was 3:30 in the afternoon.
Hmm.
And the Boulder store, that's the one that I went to first. And that's an outdoor mall, so it's a little bit easier for people to camp out. And the mall's used to it, so they let people do it.
Sure.
So I ended up leaving there probably like, I think it was around 11 at night.
Okay.
And there was already over 100 people in line, it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the Flatiron Crossing store, that's a mall that historically has not been hip on people camping out for Apple product launches. Mm-hmm. But it was different this time. And it was different for the iPad launch, too. The mall was a lot more open to the whole thing.
To reality.
To reality. Yeah, and they had everything set up so it was going to be really easy for people to line up ahead of time. And they had, like, stanchions set up the afternoon before the launch so that they had an area for the reserved people to line up and for the walk-ins to line up. And they had everything set up for these people, and it was a really pleasant change from the way it's been in the past. And when I left there, which was probably, I'm going to guess, like a quarter to midnight or midnight, something like that, the line there already had probably like 60 or 70 people in it. And considering that people tend to not go there for overnight stuff because they've learned from past experience that they couldn't, that was pretty impressive.
Sure. Now, I'm curious. Are the people that lined up, at those two stores, were they, what was the mix of reservations to non-reservations?
It was a mix. And the non-reservation line, of course, was longer. But still, at both places, the reservation line, there was a reservation line at both places. There we go. And the reservation line at Boulder, that line started, I think, around 3 in the afternoon. So the people that were lining up for reservations, of course, they knew they had an iPhone waiting for them. They were lining up because they just really liked the experience and the whole social interaction thing of being there for the overnight, we're going to get iPhone thing.
Sure. Or at least that's what they thought. Well, no, I guess, well, so the next day, your lines were mostly dissipated after several hours, right?
Well, the Flatiron Crossing store, that's where I spent my time on Thursday. They were putting people through as quickly as they could, and the line had grown several hundred people long. And it
when
was,
you left?
Well, actually, when I showed up in the morning, which was 6, and they were opening at 7, the line was already probably 300 people long. And as they were processing people out, the line was still filling up. So it was filling up about as quickly as it was clearing out.
Sure.
And when I left, there still had to have been, I'm going to guess, maybe 150 people in line, maybe a little bit more. And this is even after the Apple employees had gone out to the line and said, okay, this person right here, this is the last walk-in that will get an iPhone. Everyone after that, sorry, you'll have to come back another day. And
so, you're saying that was the line that was filling up. What about the reservation line?
The reservation line was just a constant thing where, when I left, I'm going to say there's probably about 40 people in the reservation line, but they were still kind of trickling in.
Well, that seems like a great segue to introduce my story, which was going to the Valley Fair location in Santa Clara, California. Which is, it's the largest store in the South Bay. It's not a flagship store. It's not as big as a store in San Francisco or anything, but it is the largest store in South Bay. And I figured, based on past experience, actually based on very, very, very reasonable intelligence, based on on previous launch events that I've attended. For instance, the first iPhone event, the line went around the block in San Francisco for the very first iPhone. It went around the long block and then around another long block and then around the third corner. And
that's insane.
About an hour and a half, 2 hours into the thing, the line was pretty much, just a few people. And I think that we've seen that with other product launches too, is there are a bunch of people there that are first in line. But the reality is that, if you came in the afternoon, as long as there was product available, you'd probably get your whatever product it was without much of a wait.
Right.
Now, so looking at this event with the reservations, I wasn't interested one way or another about being first to get my phone, and it made a lot more sense to have you out, since you're, of course, an hour earlier than me, time zone wise. Made a lot of sense to have you out at the stores that you were at. So I, as you know, I covered the news desk.
Which, by the way, you are such a trooper getting up early and doing that.
Well, you're such a trooper too. We both had long days. But it just made a lot more sense for you to be out there doing that since you're an hour earlier anyway. And I would go in the afternoon when, of course, the lines would be gone to get my phone because I did have a reservation.
Or so I thought. The best laid plan, so mice and men.
Exactly. Because I showed up at about 3:15 in the afternoon at the Valley Fair line. I walked in from the entrance that was not being used for the launch event. So in other words, I'm kind of, you know, I didn't see any lines or anything. And sure enough, I see two lines of people. There's, you know, one that's got about 10 people in it, one that's got about 15 people in it. It's like, yeah, boy, am I smart.
This is an indoor mall,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's an indoor
I know where
mall,
this right. is going.
You know, just exactly as I planned, ha, 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 all you people that waited forever, ha, ha, ha. And so I confidently walk up to the Apple Store employee and I say, yeah, I've got a reservation. Which line do I get in? Okay, well, you want to go out these doors and then to the left.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there's a line outside? And he goes, yeah. So I go outside. Again, I'm expecting just, you know, not that many people. And to finally get to the point, there are somewhere in between 500 and 1,000 people, probably, I don't know, maybe 600 people. In line with a reservation at 3, at this point, it's about 3:20 in the afternoon. And
that's just crazy.
Yeah, I was really shocked. And it took me about 5 hours to get through that line. And what was really interesting, though, is that there was a line of maybe a couple hundred people, 150 people at the most, actually, who didn't have reservations. And they were being let in drips, whereas the people with reservations were being let in long drips.
Sure. No, which is the same thing that I experienced.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what they did across the country. And there was a little bit of grumbling in my line from people saying, you know, why is it the people that don't have reservations get in at all before we do? And I think that's a very legitimate question. I actually don't understand Apple's thinking there.
You know, I don't get it either, but when I try and sort it out, the logic I come up with, which I know doesn't hold up under much scrutiny, is that Apple knew that regardless of what they told people ahead of time, they would have walk-in people lining up the day before or mm-hmm. earlier, and to leave those people just sitting there for hours, well, all day in many cases, before they got to go in would end up being
just
a marketing nightmare.
Hold on. That that's fine and dandy, except for Apple was clearly not averse to disappointing people, and they could, instead of letting them sit there all day, could say, if you don't have a reservation, you're not going to get a phone today.
Now,
that would have been a really easy way to handle it.
Yes, and keep in mind, I said that the logic I was presenting wouldn't hold up very well.
Fair enough.
So, in my defense.
And bless them, the people that were getting in at the same time I was getting in had been there since 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I mean, bless them. You know, they've been in line for, at that point, 12 hours. No, longer, because it was about 8 p.m. So 14 hours they've been in line waiting for their phone. And it's just, I don't know, it seemed like an interesting solution. And by the way, interestingly enough, I know that the other – I clearly put my reservation in for the wrong store, because I know that the Los Gatos store, once they ran out of phones, they sent staff over to the Valley Fair store to augment.
Oh, wow.
To augment the staff there so they could try to get through the lines quicker. And I noticed when there was a point where we had a market increase in the amount of time it was taken between the long drips.
Wow. Okay.
So I believe that we had the longest line in the South Bay. I would guess we had one of the longest lines in the country.
Well, based on your experience, it wouldn't surprise me. And I know from talking with people that were at the Boulder store on launch day that it was a long line. It ran the length of the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, and then the Flatiron Crossing Mall, I mean, they had a lot of people there. I think the average wait time from when people were getting in line, unless they were the overnight campers, mm-hmm. to the time that they had an activated phone was probably about 4.5 hours,
mm-hmm.
which is a crazy long time to stand in line and wait for a cell phone. But compared to what people are experiencing in other parts of the country, you included, that wasn't bad at all.
Well, yeah, you know, 4.5 hours to 5 hours. I'm guessing, except for the people that lined up really early, that most of that line was about 5 hours for just about anybody that came in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's actually not that far off. By the way, about the sixth person that asked, "Hey, what are y'all waiting in line for?" I was ready with my answer, and I unfortunately didn't get the chance to exercise it, but it was going to be, it's the next Star Wars movie. I was waiting for that, and then no one else asked after that. Hey, what are y'all waiting in line for? And I don't know why it is that all of a sudden my people at the Valley Fair Mall in California have a Southern accent, but in my memory, they do.
Well, the ones that ask questions, yeah.
It's only the ones that ask questions. Hey, what are y'all waiting in line for? It's the next Star Wars movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, so now we've talked about the lines itself. I mean, clearly, I think that the launch event was a major success. We have on Friday, right? You covered an analyst who estimated what?
1.5 million iPhones sold, and that includes pre-sale. And then there was another analyst that put it at about 1 million.
Yeah, I would find it hard to believe it's 1.5 million in that with 600,000 pre-orders and the non-reservation lines being handled so much slower, I find it hard to believe they could do. So, and keep in mind, of course, that a good chunk, you know, somewhere between, I would guess, a fourth and a third of those 600,000 were actually delivered, right?
That would, yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Okay, or, you know, at the very least, let's call it 100,000 of those 600,000 were delivered. So I find it hard to believe that, you know, twice as many non-reservation phones were sold. Of course, now that said, Apple was letting people, at least at our store, if you had a reservation, you could actually get more than one unit.
Yeah, that was something that they were doing. I think it was just company-wide. And at Flatiron Crossing, it was, if you show up with a reservation and you get in and you say, I want two, you could buy two. And actually, I had friends that did that. It was a couple. They showed up, and one of them was planning on getting the phone, mm-hmm. but they stayed in line together, which was just the cutest thing ever. And then mm-hmm. when they got into the store, then it was, you know, maybe we should both upgrade our iPhones. And then they did, because they had the one reservation, so they could do it.
I see.
And I have a feeling Apple was anticipating a lot of that would happen.
But even with that, I don't see half again as many units.
Well, keep in mind,
selling is beyond the reservations. I just, it doesn't make the numbers don't add up for me.
Well, keep in mind that we're dealing with a launch that rolled out in several countries instead of just one. So that's going to bump up the numbers a little bit there too.
Well, yeah, but the 600,000 pre-order reservation numbers included those worldwide numbers.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So, all right. So, it'll be interesting to see if Apple does a press release on Monday saying how many iPhones that...
Yeah, and I have no problem believing 1.5 million by now, or even 2 million, as long as they had enough to sell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're 4 days after that. Was it Gene Munster that said 1.5 million?
No, I believe that was Maynard Oom.
Oh.
I think. Gene put it at, he said between 1 million and 1.5 million.
I see.
And I think it was Maynard that said 1.5 million.
Well, and the reason why I asked that is because Gene Munster is, he was early among the analysts to sort of understand Apple.
Right.
To add context to that, since this is the Apple Context Machine, used to be that all the analysts were basically saying that Apple basically had to go into Microsoft's model of licensing a software out to other hardware manufacturers, and that was the only way to make money in the PC world, and Apple was doomed. That used to be the standard analyst line. And now, of course, it's hard to find an analyst who doesn't have glowing and gushing things to say about Apple. But in between there, it was a slow process of drips and dribbles for those analysts to actually come on board. And I still think that a lot of them don't understand what the heck Apple is doing, but Gene Munster is one of those who does. However, he is also the biggest Apple bull of all the analysts. And his estimates and predictions are almost always way at the high end.
Yes, and that said, a lot of the, well, at least some of the time, his high-end, overly optimistic projections aren't that far off.
No, they're definitely not that far off. He's not like wild and crazy. But if it was him that said it was 1.5 million, that would just sort of reinforce my own belief that it was closer to 1 million for that first day.
Yeah, and he was projecting 1 million, so it'll be interesting to see. Okay, I have a quick question for you, which is, how long did it take for your iPhone transaction to be completed? You know, and that's like they get you the phone and you pay for it and do the activation thing and send you on your way.
It was pretty quick. I took mine home to be activated because I knew there were so many people waiting and I was comfortable doing the activation myself.
Okay.
And I didn't need to walk out with it, and I wanted my phone number synced before I started using it anyway. So, you know, what the heck, I'm just activated at home. I checked up on my iPad reservation too, by the way. Did I tell you this?
Yes you did, but you haven't told anyone that's listening yet, so share. Wait, hold on. No, Brian, you didn't tell me.
Well, so while I was there, I asked if she could check up on the person that was helping me, if she could check up on my iPad reservation, and she was able to, which I was delighted. And according to the database that I looked at over her shoulder, my iPad is expected to be delivered on January 1st, 2050.
Which I think is just awesome. That's what it says.
Yeah. There are some publishers for whom I'm going to have some splaining to do, I think.
Yeah.
No, that's just the default date, though. Just the default date when they don't know when. They just stick it out. And funny enough, actually, I got an email from Apple, and I think this is clever, letting me know that they were, in fact, still working on my iPad.
Okay. Well, that's cool that they're doing that.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, kind of smart. In the meanwhile, I need to get my hands on an iPad, but that's another story. So, long and the short of it is, my transaction didn't take more than about 5-6 minutes. That included paying for it, that included getting it, that included looking up my iPad reservation, and it included letting her upsell me on getting AppleCare right then and there with a $30 discount.
Okay, so cool. All right, and I let them activate mine in the store, mm-hmm. and my transaction was about 10 minutes from beginning to end, and I was watching a lot of the transactions while I was in the store, and that's mm-hmm. about what I was seeing, because the number of people that left without an activated phone from the Flatiron Crossing store was so small that it was negligible. It might as well have been everyone was leaving activated. Mm. And it was actually one of those things that unless someone said, look, I don't want you to do anything with the phone, I'll take care of it, they were saying, okay, here, I took the shrink wrap off the package. You open up the box and unwrap your phone so we can activate it. Hmm. And it was like they just expected that they were going to activate everyone's phone.
Yeah, sure. I would imagine that a lot of people wanted it activated. And I will point out that 10 minutes is still faster than you're going to get out of at least most AT&T stories that I've seen.
That's true. And I wasn't worried about activating, knowing that my 3G was about to become a brick. because all I had to do was put in my MobileMe account info, and all of my contacts and my calendars were there.
Well, right, and I realized that I could do that too. However, I just wanted to, like I said, make room for the people behind me.
Sure. And it didn't even occur to me at the time when they said, okay, now here's what we're going to do, to tell them, no, I'll take care of it later. It was more like, oh, okay, thanks. Hey, look, shiny.
All right, well, that seems like a great place to talk about the fact that this is a cool device.
It really is. What do you think of the display?
The display is just amazing. I've only have a couple of the apps that I've got installed that have been updated for the higher resolution. But those are just amazing looking. And the keep in mind, I'm going from a 3G to the 4.
Which is what I did as well.
So we both had a huge jump in processor speeds.
Oh, yeah, because we went from 400 megahertz to a gigahertz.
Yeah, and the responsiveness of this device to me is just, I mean, it just blows me away. I mean, you know, typing is just is a much different experience on this phone, and that's partly because of how it feels and partly because of the speed of the processor, partly right. because of the display. The background I've got on it is the one with those sort of fuzzy circles. I don't know if you looked at that one.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I have the one that looks like a piece of dark slate.
The dark slate is nice. What I like about the fuzzy circles is that it really gives the display a little bit of depth when I'm moving the apps over it.
Okay.
So whatever. You know.
And so here I go, opening up my iPhone just so I can look at the fuzzy circles.
And, you know, looking at the home screen with these app icons, I mean, it's just gorgeous. It is just absolutely gorgeous. By the way, have you tried out Google Maps?
Oh, my God.
With the compass?
Oh, no, not with the compass part yet, but everything I've done with it so far has been just so cool. And by the way, the fuzzy circles look really nice. You're right.
Yeah, they do. I really like that one. So Google Maps on the iPhone 4, which the iPhone 4 has a built-in compass, of course. And this may have been the case with the 3GS, so all you guys with 3GS can laugh at me for being such a noob. But when you turn, the map turns with you.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. Are you doing it right now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so insanely cool. It's just not even funny. So Google, of course, you know, despite all the friction between them and Apple, quickly made use of... by the way, and I wonder if that's actually not partly the gyroscope, too. Like, if they're having to tap the gyroscope and the compass.
I don't care. It's just cool.
Yeah, it's just really cool. And so the display is in fact, it's just as fantastic as Steve said it was. I noticed I've got a slot machine game, by the way, that hasn't been updated for the higher resolution. So
you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell because the windows don't line up. So there are definitely some hiccups going with some of the developers in dealing with the both the new iOS 4 and of course the capabilities of the iPhone 4 itself.
Yeah, well, and the number of apps that are getting updated and showing up pretty much on a daily basis is surprising. So for anyone that's using an app that works in iOS 4 but hasn't been updated for the iPhone 4 display yet, don't worry. It's probably going to happen pretty quickly.
Yeah, it should. And, of course, the most important app still works, which is... Could you hear that?
No, I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I'm going to have to turn it up. I'm going to have to turn it up because this is just too much fun.
Oh, it still works.
Yeah, ICOM still works. I was worried about it not working with iOS 4, but it does.
That's awesome. Well, considering the fact that app kind of got shut down,
yeah, Hours after it was released.
Yeah, but we both got it, so...
We both did get it. And I'm sorry, so what we're talking about is an app called ICOM that duplicates the original Star Trek's communicator sounds.
Right, and it has a really nice-looking little communicator interface on it, and...
It does. It's very fun. I love that app. Every once in a while, usually when I'm by myself, I will flip it open and go Kirk to Enterprise. Because I'm a geek, a dork.
And you know what? That's why we love you.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, the feel of this device too is, I think, improved. I like the glass front and back, although I want a case on it as quickly as I can possibly get.
You know,
get one.
I'm kind of torn on the case thing because it is so thin. Oh, it's 25% thinner than the 3G and 3GS.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can't be 25% thinner than both because the 3GS was thinner than the 3G.
Nope, the 3GS and 3G are in the same case.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
What do I know?
Apparently you know that you like the ICOM app.
I do.
So yes. There's that. Yeah, so anyhow, so it's thinner. And I just really like the thickness where it is right now. And I know I'll end up putting a case on it, but I don't want to. I really like it like this.
I love it like this. However, I'm prone to dropping my phones.
Okay, then you really need to get a case on yours right away.
Absolutely.
I'm probably going to end up getting like one of the music skins or jealous skins for mine.
Sure.
Just because.
Well, I'll be interested to see what iFrogs does too. Vaha cases, which have cased all of my prior iPhones, has not even announced an iPhone 4 case yet because they don't announce until they can test.
Right,
they're funny like that.
Right, and then iFrogs, that's the company. Well, I usually have an iFrogs Lux on my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just my second favorite case.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. So I haven't been to their website yet to check and see if they have an iPhone 4 case ready to go yet. But if they do, I'm sure I'll end up just ordering myself one.
Well, thanks to the magic of the internet, I'm looking.
Are you looking for me right now?
I am. I'm looking for both of us right now because I need to get a case.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. But man, it just feels so nice. In your hand.
It does
feel a little bit heavier to me, and I know that it's 2 grams heavier, which I don't think is enough for most people to notice. I think it's because the phone is thinner.
And I think the glass. Oh, you're talking about people not noticing?
Yeah. I think that most people wouldn't be able to notice the weight difference. And so I think it's more the shape and the thickness that people are noticing.
Yeah, you know, and actually, I'm going to be honest, mine feels a little bit heavier, and I think it's actually because it's smaller.
Yeah.
You know, the weight is just in a smaller footprint. But at the same time, the effect of that is to make it feel like it's a more solid device, or for, you know, rightly or wrongly.
Yes, it definitely feels like a more solid device. Not that my original iPhone or my 3G ever felt flimsy.
Right.
But in comparison, it just feels like the 4 is more solid.
Right.
So what do you think of the round buttons instead of the long rocker switch for the volume?
I don't really care. They work. They both work. They both work well. The old one worked just fine, and the new ones work just fine, too.
Yeah, they work just fine. I don't like how they look. And
I actually think they match the new industrial design. So look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, well, I think they could have made the long rocker match the design too. It doesn't match what you have on the iPad or the iPod Touch. And you have the same button styles on all the devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way since the original iPhone was released.
Right,
and now we have
true.
This new iPhone that has the round buttons instead of that long rocker. I mean, it feels fine. It looks fine. It's just from the consistency standpoint.
Yeah, but I think that it's safe to say that the next iPad iteration will be similar to this.
That's probably a pretty safe bet.
So, FYI, iFrogs lists iPhone 4 cases on the homepage, but on the products page does not. They say that they are available at Best Buy.
Oh, well, maybe I'll have to hop in the car and go take a trip and see what's there.
Indeed, maybe. All right, well, so let's take a break here and talk about our sponsor, Citrix.
Oh, that's right. I love having sponsors.
Yeah, well, they do help the world go around, or at least pay for the fuel that spins the engine that makes the world go around.
Citrix buys our gravity?
All right, no, that's just silly. So we're talking about, of course, GoToAssist Express. It's a relatively new product for Citrix. They introduced it a few months ago. They've been actually sponsoring us now for several months, and we appreciate that.
We do. Thanks, guys.
So GoToAssist Express is a product designed to allow you to fix someone else's computer without you having to be there.
And if you're not into the whole fixing thing, but you need to show someone how to do something, it does that too.
Yeah, there's the fixing, there's the showing, there's the demonstrating. But the point is that you can do it remotely, and you can do it remotely easily, inexpensively, and actually have it work and not be a hassle. And the person that you're helping,
I'm just waiting to hear where you end up with this.
Well, see, what I was about to say is like, you know, I'd hate to see the person that couldn't make it happen, but then someone is listening to us who has a relative that they've tried to help and who couldn't make it work, maybe. And so I'm just being really offensive. But that's okay. Screw it. I've certainly offended other people in the past. It's so simple. I'd hate to see the person that couldn't actually make it work.
I'm betting the person that couldn't actually make it work is someone that has a computer that stopped working.
Yeah, they aren't fair enough. The way it works is they have an application that they download, and they open it, and they basically say that it's okay.
Yeah, and it's simple and it's secure, so it's not like once you say, hey, it's okay for Brian to access my computer remotely to fix something, that mm-hmm. Brian can get into your computer anytime. So it's on a per-use basis that you grant someone access.
Yeah. Right. So it's actually safe and secure for both of us. Now, if you're on the I help all my friends and family fix their stuff side of things, like one of the advantages that this is offering is that your other person doesn't have any configuration stuff to do.
Right. All they have to do is watch for an email, pretty much.
Right. And it's not like, you know, it's not like trying to set up some kind of, you know, VPN thing or Apple Remote, you know, ahead of time. It's a really good product. And the guys at GoToExpress, the guys at Citrix have been doing this sort of thing for a long time. And this is basically just sort of the culmination of all those years of work aimed at the people who need to do these one-offs easily.
Right. So it's a great way if, like, maybe you need to help out your parents with their computer and mm-hmm. they're not close by.
Or your aunt.
Or your aunt, sure. Or that special someone in your life. Or yep. maybe a client.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a client, you know, certainly people that are in the support business can use this too. Whenever I think about this product, and this is mainly because of the kinds of things I've done in my life, you know, I just think about all those people that I've had to help in the past. And, you know, I just wish I could show them, especially when, you know, I know people. I've moved a lot in my life, and I know people all over the country.
Yeah, and they don't forget that you're the computer guy.
No, they don't. They might forget to call me on my birthday, but they do not forget. They do not forget that I'm the computer guy. What's that guy? That guy that works for Apple.
So you get that too? Yeah, a lot of people think I work for Apple. And I have to remind him, do you think I'd be able to say the things that I say if I worked for Apple?
Yeah, we do not work for Apple. So that's GoToAssist Express from Citrix. They, of course, are offering 30 days for free. So all you have to do is go to a special URL that they set up for us.
Right, and that's GoToAssist.com/machine.
for Apple Context Machine.
That's very clever.
If you do that, you let them know that you heard it from us, and we would appreciate you doing that. So, now there's a couple of things more that we should talk about. There's one that's kind of really fun and one that's less fun, but at the very least interesting.
All right. What do you feel like
doing
first?
Which one first?
Yeah, which one first? Let's
go out on a high note, and so let's talk about the reception issue first.
Okay, that sounds good. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about when Brian said the reception issue, once the iPhone 4 started getting into people's hands, quite literally, complaints started cropping up that holding the phone in a certain way causes signal reception to drop out. And the idea is, if you look at the iPhone, like you're holding it in your hand, so it's facing you, and the home button is at the bottom, just off to the left, right there on that bezel edge, the stainless steel edge, you'll see a little black stripe.
And the same thing on the right.
Yes. And those are places where the antenna sections are separated. And so when you bridge those gaps so that the different antenna pieces are in essence making contact through your skin,
you're closing a circuit with your body.
There you go. And then ultimately your signal strength starts dropping off, and in some cases your signal just goes away completely.
And Dave Hamilton, president of the Mac Observer, he was able to duplicate and replicate this immediately.
Which is interesting, because I still have not been able to do it with my phone.
Nor have I. So I haven't been able to replicate it. You know, and this isn't some kind of universal thing, in other words. But we definitely have people that we know and trust who have seen this problem themselves. And now one thing that fixes it is having any kind of case that keeps you from closing that circuit with your skin.
Sure.
Like Apple's bumper case.
Yes, that's a perfect example. And if you don't feel like spending $30 on that and you don't want to have a full case,
put gum. Just chew some gum and then stick gum on either side. I'm kidding.
I was going to suggest cut a little strip of scotch tape, or if you want to add some color to your iPhone, get some colored electrical tape and use that.
Yeah, I wonder if that would be enough, though. And that would be so ugly. Anyway, that's not the point.
The point is, some people are having this problem. Nail polish. Get some clear nail polish. Just paint that on there.
I think that would actually still be a problem.
Dude, work with me here. I'm trying to come up with ideas.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to get a case.
Yeah, I probably have to get a case. But some people are not having this problem.
But some people aren't having it, right. And now, Steve Jobs sent out an email, I think on Friday, when someone wrote to him complaining about it. And his response was, don't hold it that way. Which, and I think the folks at TechCrunch put together a great series of photos of all the people in Apple's own marketing videos
holding it just that way. Awesome.
Yeah, don't hold it that way. And then anyway, including, I might add, Steve.
Yeah. And now it's interesting to note that the way people are holding it, it sounds like the problem should be worse if you hold the phone in your left hand.
Well, I suppose it's funny. When I hold my iPhone, we didn't talk about this, but when I hold my iPhone, I'm not really near the black lines. I tend to hold it at the top.
Which comes from having a first-gen iPhone, where you wanted to make sure the black plastic strip at the bottom was always open.
I guess.
So,
I don't know what that comes from.
Now, I'm left-handed, and when I hold my phone in my hand, I'm bridging all of those little antenna gaps.
I see, because you're holding it at the bottom.
Yeah, so the bottom of it actually rests against the pad in the palm of my hand, and so I have clear coverage across the antenna pieces right there.
I see,
and then on the other side, I typically have one of my fingers right across the other little black stripe. Okay, but I don't think anyone actually really cares how I'm holding my iPhone. The point is...
Well, I think that's actually relevant. I think that a lot of people who may be even worried about whether or not they should be worried right, are probably actually wondering just that.
Okay, so fair enough. So the bottom line for me is I'm left-handed. I'm a prime candidate for the reception issue, and I'm not having it. So I'm wondering where the problem is coming in. You know, what do people need to do to really replicate this? And I'm wondering if maybe the fact that I live in a semi-arid environment, the Denver metro area, if the dry air is having something to do with the fact that I'm having difficulty replicating the issue.
And Apple, of course, isn't talking yet, sort of.
Really?
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what the problem is. By the way, do you hold your phone? You're left-handed, but do you hold it in your left hand or your right?
When I'm interacting with my phone, it's in my right hand so that I can do things with my left.
Yep.
And when I'm talking on my phone, it goes to my left hand so I can hold it to my ear.
Huh. And for me, I'm right-handed, but I hold my phone in my left hand all the time.
Which is so interesting.
Yeah, when I'm talking or when I'm tapping on it. All right. So now we mentioned that Apple isn't talking, yet Steve sent out another email in response to a goober who wanted to get who wanted Steve to send him a free bumper case. Steve's response was, Steve's response was, "There is no reception issue. Stay tuned." And one can glean just about whatever one wants from that. The first, of course, would be that he's in denial.
Right.
There is no reception issue. The second is that a software fix is on the way, which is what I think. In other words, saying that there's no reception issue with the phone. It's a software issue. You know, it's going to be fixed shortly. Don't sweat it. Right. That's how I took that.
And that seems like a pretty reasonable interpretation, I think.
And the third interpretation, though, is that Steve Jobs is just a huge fan of Keanu Reeves and The Matrix.
And that's totally possible, too.
Let me see if I can't do a Keanu Reeves impression.
I bet you can, considering how good your other impressions are.
So now I'm looking at this thing, and I just don't see any reception issue.
Did that come out right?
That was spot on.
I can't do Keanu Reeves. And I don't really think that was my best Balmer that I've ever done either, but that was actually like...
It's how
just
you picture, tell the difference.
Picture Steve Ballmer with his, you know, arms moving and his shoulders hunching, and he's like, you know, like denying that there's any kind of anyway.
Yeah, with his long black coat on.
Yeah, that wasn't my best Ballmer.
Yeah, but it didn't need to be your best Ballmer because that was your best Keanu Reeves.
There is no reception issue. No, I can't do Keanu either. But yeah, you know, I think
if I could do Ballmer, I would do something along the lines of, "Hey Trinity, can you hold my phone for me just like this?" And, yeah, I like it when you hold it that way.
Oh my!
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Family show.
Oh, good Lord!
Sorry.
You just, oh, man. You, anyway, so. I think that there are people who are going to make of that Steve is denying things, and since Steve has already said don't hold it that way, he's clearly not denying that there's an issue. Right? So I don't think he's in denial. The stay tuned to me says that there's a fix on the way. So I think sometime on Monday, Tuesday at the latest, we're going to see some kind of statement/fix from Apple on this.
Yeah. So assuming Steve Jobs says stay tuned, then that tells me something is in the works.
Yeah.
And my assumption is whatever's in the works was probably in the works before the iPhone actually shipped.
Well, you know, I wonder. I mean, I suppose... I wonder that it really seems like a strange thing for Apple to, if they knew that they had a fix coming, it seems like a strange thing for them to allow to mar this opening.
Well, yeah, but on the other hand, the date was set Everything was in motion.
Yeah, how would they have not? I mean, I think it's actually possible that it took this thing getting into the hands of a lot of people for anyone to notice. I guess that's kind of what I'm saying.
It's possible, but I have a hard time thinking that Apple wouldn't have anticipated something like this. I mean, if they have people working for them that are smart enough to create something like the iPhone, mm-hmm. and then to figure out how they can take the entire bezel and turn it into an antenna frame, mm-hmm. these people have to be smart enough to know that there are all different types of interference that can occur when you're holding a cell phone.
Yeah, but if it's okay, so if let's say it's a software fix. I think it'll be a software fix. Let's say it is a software fix. And it's a software fix that you know, they've been working on. I think that if they could have had a fix ready, that if they knew about it ahead of time, they would have had a fix ready for launch day at the latest. That there would have been a 401 ready to go, and anybody that complained, that Apple would say, well, just update it to 401 and it'll go away.
Yeah.
I think this caught some people by surprise. And it could have even been some kind of issue, like something that had been corrected and that somehow made it out into iOS 4. You know, like it could have been something like that.
And that's possible, too. And knowing that the GM, the Gold Master, the final version that actually ended up on everyone's iPhone is a version that was locked in place a couple of weeks, it looks like, before the iPhone actually shipped. Mm-hmm. You know, if they came up with issues right away that they knew they had to address before the launch actually happened, mm-hmm. they couldn't have fixed it. Or before launch, anyhow. Because they already had units packaged ready to go, and getting all of those devices updated, that just wasn't going to happen.
No, but that's what I'm saying. They would have had 401 ready to go.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Some days I'm just a little slow, but I get it. Yeah, that makes sense.
So be that as it may, I think that before all is said and done, this will be an issue that was like, oh, do you remember that thing that problem that they had? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, people love rooting for Apple as the underdog, mm-hmm. and then they love slamming them when they're on a success roll.
Which they've been for the last decade.
Right.
More or less.
So I can't imagine that the iPhone launch would have gone off without people finding something to complain about.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, for sure. And, yeah. And it's just natural, too. You know, it's I think it's understandable for you know, there were a lot of people that used to hate Apple because they didn't understand what Apple was doing. And now that Apple is huge and successful and, you know all but printing money, it's very understandable for people to dislike Apple because they're successful. You know, and in some sure. cases, it'll even be the same people.
Yeah, humans, we're so fickle.
Yeah, we are. We are so fickle. It's just, you know, it's just natural. I mean, it's silly. I disagree with them, but it's, you know, it's kind of expected. So let's go out on a high note and talk about this
FaceTime.
Yeah, FaceTime that we both think is just the bee's knees.
You know, I guess this is one of the situations where I have to say, yeah, this is much better than I was expecting. And my whole idea, first, that there wouldn't be a front-facing camera, and second, that FaceTime would be total crap. Mm-hmm. I was kind of wrong on that.
Did you think it was going to be total crap?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea of having to hold your phone out in front of you and try and keep everything stable so you can talk to someone else. I mean, just the whole concept, I'm thinking, are you crazy? Why would you even begin to try something like this? But it works really, really well. And, excuse me, I don't see it as a feature I will use a lot, but I see it as a feature that for the people that really want to be able to have that visual interaction, like with their family, what a fantastic technology, and it works really well, much to my surprise.
You know, dude, I'd use it every time I talk to you. I'd use it every time I talk to Dave. I'd use it every time I talk to my mother. I think most of my friends, I would use it more often than not.
Well, apparently I'm going to be using FaceTime a lot more than I realized. And I better keep that baseball cap near my desk all the time. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's no hope for me, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Dude, your hair rocks.
Only in the right lighting, as we discovered. Jeff and I were playing. We both tested out FaceTime before we started recording, but we wanted to FaceTime together to talk about some of the issues so that we could talk about it intelligently when we actually started recording. And I found out that my white boy afro does not look good with backlighting from a window. I look well. More like Medusa having a really bad hair day.
Which is saying a lot. Yeah. But it worked really well. And the camera flipping thing?
Yeah, the camera flipping. So one of the features, so the iPhone does have two cameras, right? It's got the one you would normally use to take a photograph.
Right, the 5-megapixel camera.
Uh-huh. And then it's got the front one that's intended to use for FaceTime.
Right, and I forgot what the resolution is on that.
Yeah, it's probably not much higher than the display.
Yeah, I think it's like a 3-megapixel.
Oh, is it really that high?
It might be.
Huh.
But, yeah, I mean, it works, and it works fine.
It does. And in the bottom right-hand corner, we should also explain, because I can only guess that some people will have this question. How do you do a FaceTime conversation?
Well, first you go buy an iPhone 4.
You do need an iPhone 4. And you, when you call someone, if they've got an iPhone 4, there's a FaceTime button that will light up on the screen that's with the other other phone controls. And touching right. that basically turns it into a FaceTime conversation.
Yeah, and okay. So the other thing you absolutely have to have is a Wi-Fi broadband internet connection.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work over the 3G networks.
Right. Right. Yeah, the AT&T doesn't want that.
No, they don't.
They absolutely do not want that. And so just like iChat, basically the FaceTime conversation will start off with your face filling the screen until you actually complete the connection. And then your face goes into a little window, defaults to the upper right-hand corner, and then you see whatever the other camera's looking at on the other end.
Right. So then you can use the little window of yourself to make sure that you're actually in the camera's window.
Right. And then at the bottom right-hand corner, this is the thing we were talking about, the bottom right-hand corner is a little icon that you can tap, and it'll switch the FaceTime conversation, it'll switch the camera view to being the big camera in the back. So, like, if you want to give a tour of your room, or you want to show the other person the same thing that you're looking at, you can do so.
And it works surprisingly well.
It works really well. It is completely seamless. There's a lot of software and technology going in to making that work incredibly smoothly, to make it look easy.
Yeah, and smooth, I think, is an important word, because as I was holding the iPhone up, of course, my hand is moving around, and what mm-hmm. I'm expecting is that my head's going to be moving around in the camera shot, and what Brian is seeing is my head sitting still.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. No, there's not enough movement to make it really that noticeable or annoying.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, it's much like a Steadicam effect.
Right.
Yeah. Know, if you ever watched, especially like Ghost Hunters.
Oh, right, where they have the little camera on themselves.
Yeah, or actually, what's the other the Josh show that Ghost Hunters sort of stemmed out of, called Destination Truth.
Oh!
They always put cameras on the people. So that and they'll occasionally cut to those cameras. Those basically they're coming off of a little boom, and they're filming the people in the show. They're filming their faces, and it's very 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 similar to that effect.
It is, and it was actually kind of cool as you were walking around the TMO West towers,
mm-hmm.
and I was following along with you. It felt a lot like those kinds of shows.
Yeah, and so I don't know if Apple is using the gyroscope that's built into the thing to sort of artificially stabilize the image. I don't know if they're doing that, or if it turns out that you holding your phone on someone's face, especially with the somewhat fisheye kind of lens, if it just simply, I don't yet know how they're doing it, but the bottom line is that it is not nausea inducing to use this at all.
That's true. Now, the one complaint that, or concern that I had ahead of the iPhone launch,
mm-hmm.
I still see as a concern, which is how many people are really going to want to hold an iPhone in the air out ahead of them and do video chatting, because after a while holding your arm out like that's going to get uncomfortable. What I ended up doing when I was sitting at my desk, at one point I actually just put my elbow down on the desk and held my iPhone up.
This is where being fat comes in handy, because I just put my hand on my stomach.
I'm sorry, I just laughed, and I should not have laughed. I am
said
sorry.
It to be funny. Yeah, you know, and I'm as with anything like this, you will end up finding a way of using it that actually works for you.
Right, and what I can see myself doing, if I'm going to be doing this at my desk, and I'll have to experiment with it, but I have a shelf on my desk, and I can set my iPhone on there and talk into it, which is kind of funny, because I have my MacBook Pro sitting here, which would be almost right beside where the iPhone would be, and it has an EyeSight camera.
Ah, right.
So it would be, but I can see why if we wanted to do a video chat sort of thing like that using the iPhone, because it would be faster than trying to initiate an iChat video thing or Skype.
Oh yeah,
video thing.
It's way faster. It's way faster. I think a lot of people are going to be doing this. And now, was it you that saw the group of deaf people walk into the Apple Store?
Yes, that was at Flatiron Crossing on iPhone launch day.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about that? Because I thought that was a really cool story.
Okay, so the deal is this group of three deaf people comes into the Apple Store, and they wanted to check out the iPhone. They've all been using, it looked like they had Blackberries, and that all of their phone communication with each other was done as text messaging.
Sure.
And so they all went over, and they're looking at the iPhones, and they had a whole table set up where you could do FaceTime with each other. And
so the phones were already basically set up to sort of be connected.
Right.
Okay.
And so the people are sitting there, and they're looking at them, and they kind of have these frowns on their faces, and like, I don't know. And they're talking back and forth, and so then they tried doing FaceTime where they're facing each other and holding the phones up. And they're like, no. And so they decided to turn so their backs were to each other. And at that point, they can't see each other. They obviously can't hear each other. They might as well be in other parts of the planet. And they start doing the FaceTime thing, signing at the camera, and their eyes got huge and just these giant grins on their faces. And it was like, you could see they all went, yes, this is actually something that's going to work for us. And I was watching this and I thought, okay, right there, I just watched the future happen. Mm-hmm. Because here's this technology where a couple weeks ago I'm going, no, I can't see any good use for this. It's not going to work out well. I don't think it's going to be good implementation. And here's these people that were suddenly empowered. They had a new communication tool.
They were holding the phone with one hand and doing a letter signing with one hand, right?
That, yes.
Yeah, you'd have to have the phone on some kind of stand to do proper two-handed signing.
Right. But, okay. I mean, they were able to spell at each other.
Yeah, sure.
And it worked. And they obviously saw it as something that was going to work well for them because they were all extremely excited about this.
Yeah, with huge grins on their faces, if I remember.
Oh, yes.
Before. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's fantastic. This is going to be, I think, a huge thing for the not small community of the hearing impaired throughout the world. It could be a huge thing.
Yes, and since Apple is making the FaceTime protocol open, mm-hmm. that means ultimately other smartphones should be able to take advantage of this too.
Right, right, and which is really smart of Apple because I think that Apple wants me to be able to FaceTime with someone else on an Android phone.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, the idea of having this across devices really opens it up.
Yeah.
Which I believe is the idea.
It does. All right, so let's summarize. We've been going on here for a while. Let's summarize. First of all, the launch event was the biggest Apple launch event, I think, ever.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Hands down. I think they sold more of these devices than they've ever sold. Any other launch event, I'm guessing. We'll find out from... They will eventually, I'm sure, release some kind of press release.
Right. The only way they wouldn't is if sales figures were substantially lower than they expected.
Yeah.
But come on. Okay, you're in line at, what, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon with 600 other people?
Yeah, I might add, by the way, I don't think I mentioned this. The staff members were had already been... You know, we're already prepared to close the store at midnight.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You know, that they were willing to keep the store open till midnight.
Well, I don't think they had a choice. They totally had to. But they had a whole voucher system in place if there were still people in line that hadn't gotten their phone that had a reservation.
See, that's really smart.
Yeah, it is very smart. So, huge launch event. The lines we put up I think five or six photo galleries.
That sounds about right.
From different stores, you know, some of them were taken by TMO staff members, and we got a couple of submissions from readers too.
Yeah, and thank you to the readers that sent their photos in.
Yep, exactly. The phone itself is great. We both like the phone.
Yes, I am very glad that I bought my iPhone.
New camera. I don't think we even mentioned the new camera. It takes amazing pictures, just amazing photographs.
Yeah. You know, I have been using my old iPhone, my 3G, for mm-hmm. a lot of the quick photos that I want to take. Mm-hmm. And then if I think I need something more, all right, I end up taking my point-and-shoot camera with me everywhere.
Right.
Now, I'm not as concerned about carrying the point-and-shoot camera around. I think my iPhone will actually replace a lot of that impromptu photography that I do.
I would not carry a point and shoot. I have an SLR, digital SLR, that I usually use for TMO related events.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still probably continue to use that because I definitely like real lenses. However, any kind of point and shoot stuff, I would definitely do with the iPhone.
I'll still use my point and shoot for some things because it has an optical zoom.
I would not want to be in the point and shoot business at this point.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Just saying. They're going to have to come up with some way to keep those devices compelling.
They could put phones on them.
Okay, now that's funny. So we both love the new display.
Yes, it's fantastic. And I haven't had a chance to check mine out with my loop yet. Yes, I have multiple loops.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Because I lent mine to someone that needed to have one for a little while.
And to those not in the either the jewelry business or the...
Or the printing industry.
The printing industry or the camera, the photography business.
It's a magnifying lens.
Yeah. Magnifying lens, when you see, like in a movie, you got a jeweler who's looking at the stolen diamonds and he's got the little lens that he puts up to his eye, that's a loop.
Yeah, or from the printing industry, you set it on the paper.
Right. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We both think that the device was a huge success numbers-wise. We're waiting for that. And then we think the FaceTime is the bee's knees.
Yeah, and I'm okay saying, wow, I was wrong on that one. Because I didn't realize
you were that adamant about it. I was kind of in the, I don't really care about the front-facing camera because I don't want to deal with the jostling. But I didn't think it was going to be awful.
I did.
I see. All right, well, it's good to know. And then we both think that there is no spoon.
Yeah, I just can't see it here at all.
You make me laugh.
That's good. All right. So with that, let's call it.
I think that's a great idea. All right. So I get it. That means I'm supposed to say, if you have anything to comment on, add a question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And hey, feel free to follow me on Twitter. That would be at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for the Mac Observer. And our sponsor this week was Citrix.
Thanks, guys.
Go to Express. And yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Still I cannot go. We're trapped by the lies that we